You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Paco Radio here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. Nick Devano and Lou Toner here. Coming towards a bit of the final stretch here of our inaugural episode. We've gone through all things Paco so far in this beginner's guide. We've spoken about the history, a bit about, you know, the situation down at Hoskins Reserve, the juniors and the women's. Let's dive into the senior men's a little bit, shall we? You know, we spoke about how a couple of years ago, Pasco Vale flying finals, the unfortunate relegation in 2019, no football last year, but looking quite good this season, the position to potentially come back up. Yeah. Let's talk about the season to date. Hopefully football will be back this weekend, and it's a rivalry. It's a derby game.
It is. Moreland City, wow.
Yeah.
We've had some big derbies with Moreland City. We hadn't played them for a long time, and then round one we got drawn to play Moreland City. It's always been a derby, you know. Moreland City goes back to the days of there's a gentleman that started our club, Michael Pulduvik, you know. Uncle Mick used to call him because he was one of my uncles. but Michael Pulduvik, he started a thing called the City of Moreland Charity Cup.
Yeah.
So the mayor of the year used to pick a charity, and all the Moreland clubs used to get together and have a tournament over the last 3 weeks. And so we built an unbelievable relationship with Moreland back in, and all the Moreland clubs. And I credit Uncle Mick, Pulduvik, and that Charity Cup about creating some unbelievable relationships through Moreland City Council and giving soccer clubs actually a leg up, because at the time, you know, soccer was not, it was just like, let's just give them a ground to shut these clubs up. Whereas, you know, AFL was very strong and cricket was very strong, and soccer clubs used to just get a 6 month allocation and that's it. But Uncle Mick had a lot of vision and created things. So from that point in time, the Moreland City Charity Cup, you know, was always us and them at the time in the league. So it was a very, 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 very big rivalry back in the day, and now it's just even bigger, you know.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to the big clash on the weekend. The boys got back to training on Friday night, had a session on Saturday, had a session last night. And I must admit that the boys at the club have just been, the senior players in particular, have been unbelievable, you know. Mm. At the end of last year, we'd asked them to do some things, you know, financially for us, because the year was going to be different. They all took it on the chin like young men. They've come in, they've never whinged. They come here 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week. Whatever is asked of these kids, it's been unbelievable. So if you know, I'd like them to go up for themselves, to be honest with you, more than myself sort of in some ways, because their guys are just so committed to trying to do well for the club and their coach. It's just great to see.
Of course, and, you know, it is a bit of a friendly rivalry, you'd say, with Moreland City, not so much. Or has there been those moments in the past?
Oh, there has been. There was one moment that, you know, 1 year we were looking at getting promoted.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. I'm sure they know. And we were looking at getting promoted, and we had to win. We had Gianfranco coaching at the time in Pellizzeri. You know, pretty happy. Gave Gianfranco his first senior gig, you know, and he was gone on to have a pretty good career. We had him coaching, and we needed to beat Moreland City to get into the top two, to get into promotion, to get top tier. It was the last game of the season, and we drew, and they were pretty happy.
Yeah.
So I think the rivalry started a bit deeper from then. It wasn't a Moreland City Charity Cup type of atmosphere, but that's great. I think that's great for football.
Of course, and the more rivalries, the better. It makes those games must see. I think, you know, you think about how this match hasn't happened in NPL for quite some time, because obviously you guys were the top tier, second tier team. And also as well, they came so close to being promoted a few years ago and lost that final, the unlosable final, it almost felt like. Yeah. But it's happening now. Have you had any updates in regards to, I guess, the situation in regards to spectators? Is there any hope of potentially getting some people in?
I saw a message there. I don't know. I have to go through it all 100% Nick, to be honest with you, because I've just been today at work.
And of course,
But I saw a situation where I think you could only have what you need to start a match, to get a match happening. Mm. Hopefully that's not the case, because, you know, we were lucky to host Moreland at home, and, you know, we did quite well on the day. You know, we were able to make some money, and we hope they can do the same, you know, on Saturday. And people are starving to go to games.
Yeah.
You know, I found this year that that people are really, really happy to be back and watching local football. People have missed it. And just before the lockdown, I felt like people were starting to get back into it and starting to say, oh, it's really happening. It's going to be no disturbances in it. And then, bang, it just happened overnight. So
what happens with those few games that you guys missed? Are they going to be sprinkled in midweek fixtures of the season extent?
I believe that's the only way you can do it.
Yep.
I'd like to see the season extended by an extra week or two. Yep. I think there should be some provision for that, considering that we are in a COVID year. Or, you know, we need some real smart people, and probably smarter than me, to be able to work out how the games. But I don't think the competition should be compromised at all. I think it should be fair and even, and it shouldn't be compromised because of some time restrictions. We've got enough grounds, in our game to be able to host games like that, double headers. I don't know. We just have to get smarter, like the A-League did and like, the Euros are doing at the moment,
Yeah, just trying to make it happen, trying to make it work because, we've had no football last year. We need something to get us through. And talking about the rest of the season now, there's about halfway of the season still to go. You're in a very good position. What's the message now from David Schick, Ben? Is it really now foot to the pedal, like we need to go now? We've got a really good chance to potentially break into the top tier. What's sort of been the message now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he hears it enough from me.
Yeah.
Without trying to come across as saying that it's our season to lose, we don't look at it that way. We get to training, we watch training, we watch the games, and we've got no qualms, or we don't feel like we're lacking anywhere as a club in terms of the way the boys are trying, the commitment, the coaching commitment. So all those things, all those boxes are getting ticked. Where we end up, David, it is where we end up, but we're confident we'll end up where we end up, and that'll be the best we could possibly have done. I don't think it'll be a situation where we'd say, we've stuffed it up. We should have probably worked a bit harder at the middle of the year, should have worked harder at pre-season. All those boxes have been ticked to date. So we're we've got strength and conditioning coaches, so the boys are prepared properly. We've got the physios always available. All those things are coming important. The boys get the training. It's not that I have to worry about jumping over because there's young kids on there or, the fences are down or, the setup is perfect for the guys to give their absolute best situation. I wouldn't mind the ground being a bit better at Hosken, but, so we are comfortable with the work our coaches are doing and with the way the players are extra committed. So at the moment, we're quite happy exactly where we're going. We hope to get promoted. That's the ambition of the club. We believe we're an NPL club. We don't, that's where we believe. That's our thinking at our club. And that's how our thinking will always be at the club because we've been there, we've had that taste and we love it.
And also as well, when you look at this league as well, there are a lot of teams in your sort of close demographic with Moreland Zebras and Brunswick City as well. Is that sense of, a bit of pride that you really want to try and get above them as well, and, break free of that sort of more, I wouldn't say a Moreland bubble, that little bit of Northern bubble.
Yeah. Look, there are some strong clubs in this league, I have to admit, when we dropped, we thought, okay, we can come straight back up here. But watching the league and watching the players, and there's great coaches in the league, Peter Tsoulakis, Tangalakis, who's had a lot of experience. Yeah. The boys down at Brunswick City are doing an amazing job. Moreland City's coach is the most experienced coach in the league. John Franco's taken over at the Zebras. Some big clubs, some clubs that have been in the top tier. They know how to win games and we believe we're just one of those clubs. We don't believe we're better than those clubs, but we don't believe we're worse than those clubs. That's exactly where we see ourselves. But like I said, Lang Warren, you came and watched Lang Warren that day. Those guys didn't give us an inch to
very physical team.
Very physical team. Didn't give it, the game was a million miles an hour. It was quick. It's fast. And what I have found, and I've been super impressed with, is that a lot of clubs in this league are trying to play football. Obviously it's probably not the same intensity as the NPL. Obviously it's not.
Yeah.
But it's clubs have tried to play football and it's been really good to watch. And I've been quite surprised with the quality of the league. It's been quite good. And it's a COVID year and there's a lot of younger teams in there too. And as you can see by the results, teams going up and down and from top to ninth, tenth, there's only 3 points or 4 points in it. A couple of wins in a row, you're back up there. you know, so it's good league.
And you find yourself in the really exciting position, FFA Cup this week, you know, and it's getting close towards that point where you start going, you know, we're close to the whole Australia round of 32. And with the announcement today, you know, Channel 10 getting the rights to the FFA Cup and everything, there must be a sense of excitement for this week, you know, knowing you're getting back to it and you're that close now that you can smell it almost.
There is. Oh, look, I have to admit I'm a bit guilty of me personally, myself, of like, oh, just don't worry, let's win the league, you know, don't worry about the FFA Cup, you know. I think that's been a bit of the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of goes before it was the FFA Cup. We got to a semi-final once against St. Albans Saints. I think it was semi or quarter-final. We were in State League 2. But the best run we've had in a Doherty Cup was in 1992.
So it's been a while.
It has been a while. And we had a team coached by also a person that is from New York, he's from Pascoval, born through and through. John Tolofsky, you know, he coached this team, and we had this team that had some unbelievable players, and we got to a semi-final. I think it was a semi-final or quarter-final. I think it was a quarter-final against South Melbourne Hellas.
Yeah.
And at the time, they had Francis Owuratifi.
Yeah.
They had all those unbelievable players, and we went to play them at Bulleen, and it was a double header.
Yeah.
And the game beforehand was Brunswick Juventus.
Yep.
Versus Preston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, versus Preston Macedonia. Yeah. And the game afterwards was Pascoe Vale, and we were in a State League 4 and against...
arguably the best team in Australia at the time.
Yeah, South Melbourne was. Yeah. You know, they had Trimboli wasn't playing, but they had Peter Salakis. It was an unbelievable team. And we were at halftime, I think we were 0-0.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was something like that. And then, you know, they were just experience. And then we had a guy called Dunce Smudgevski.
Okay.
Who is a central defender, and he's Francis Owuratifi. He's given him a bit of cheek. He's given him a bit of an elbow. Got sent off, and then they ran away with the game 5. I mean, whether we were going to win the game or not, but that team that we had that year was probably one of the best teams Pascoal's ever had. You know, they're the type of team that would be down to 2-0 at a game, and would win at 6-2. It was, you know, there's two strikers called Bill Popovsky and Tony Ujanovsky. They were, you know, that era, they were very good players. Between them, they scored 75 goals.
Oh, wow.
So we do understand getting that far deep, how exciting it is. But, you know, the boys and the coach, they definitely want to go as far as they possibly can. They want to hit the last 32. Whether we can do it or not, that's up to the boys. And we'll support it the whole way.
So for details for the game, I guess, you know, at that point by Tuesday, as we know, things change very quickly with this COVID environment. For those listening at home, what's happening for Tuesday?
Yeah, we're playing Dandenong City.
Yep.
I think we've got to get back to them by tomorrow about playing Tuesday.
Yep.
That's a day that suits us too. So we're looking forward to going down to Dandenong City. Hopefully we can all go there.
Yeah. Enjoy the chivapi they've got down there.
Unbelievable club in Dandenong City, you know, who are... Obviously, their success is they've got some great players.
Yeah,
Mickey Cellino, who I've got an absolute large amount of respect for. He's coaching the guys down there, and you know it's going to be a really tough game.
Well, I think it'd be Mickey Cellino's first game or second game in charge or something. Yeah. You know, and also as well, you know, you would see this game as almost a perfect opponent. They're struggling in NPL Victoria at the moment. Yeah. You guys are right in amongst the promotion push. Is that sort of a part of the message at the moment?
They're struggling, but they haven't been pumped off the field. They've been in every game. I mean, they've got some unbelievable players. Let's not hide the fact. You know, we understand we're going in that game. We're the underdogs. You know, sure, we're doing okay in the league, but we are going in that game as the underdogs. Which, by the way, that's a position that Pascoval actually likes, being the underdogs. Yeah. That's why we did so well for so long in that league, because I think people knew us as a hardworking blue collar club, and we're proud to be that club.
Yeah, and obviously as well, you know, you're going as the underdogs, you play with nothing to lose, and that's the exciting part, and this is the part of that FFA Cup period where you've got, you know, you've got Preston Lions that are supposed to be playing in Oakley at some point. They're also in a similar boat. There are other teams in the same league as well, and it's an exciting time, I think, for everyone involved. And because we've sort of had this COVID period, we've sort of forgotten the FFA Cup is still in this nitty-gritty stage, so it's really, really exciting times. And Lou, we're coming towards the end of it. We've got to wrap up. Anything you want to? Anyone you want to thank? Any sponsors? You know, anyone for everyone listening home?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, I want to thank Senol. Can't go. I'd also like to look. We've got many great sponsors, and over the course of this show, we'll be displaying those sponsors. You know, but we've also got, you know, Catalano Furniture, who's been with us for a very long time, and you know, I just want to say, you know, to all our fans, and you know, stick with the club. Club's in the right direction. We've got some really good things. We've, you know, we've internally we've seen the Hoskin Reserve sort of victory, you know, having that fight and coming out of it the other end very good. We see that as a new line going forward. You know, we've hit all our targets to this point, but we're setting ourselves a new 5-year plan, and we, you know, we're really excited about where we want to go. Our juniors is actually our absolute priority as much as our seniors, so that's where we're looking to put a lot of investment going forward, and we're excited.
Of course, and for those listening at home, Saturday back in action against Moreland City, big derby game. Let's hope Pascoe Vale can get over the line and get a result. And then Tuesday, it'll collide with the next show as well, FFA Cup night. Yep. So we'll stay tuned on the socials and we'll hear a little bit more about what we've got planned for next Tuesday.
But
big thank you, Lou, for joining us here today for the first show
on
Paco Radio. And if you've missed any of it at home, make sure you head over to our podcast platform, Spotify, wherever you get them, and catch up on the show. We spoke about all things Pascoe Vale here, but we're going to say goodbye here. Paco Radio, Nick Tabano and Lou Toner here. Coming up just after this, Avenger Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.